Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and wild afternoon going on here. How's your day? Hopefully super. Excited to have you with us this afternoon for some writer's training with Dr. Judith Briles, and we're going to be talking about Author You, creating and building your author and book platforms. If you are an author, a wannabe author, a writer, or anyone who knows an author, you are going to be interested in what we have to share here today. And even if you're just kind of curious how this all works, this is a wonderful program for you to stay tuned to. And our guest is like the best person in the world to talk about this subject. She's the author of 30 books herself. She is a DBA and MBA, and she's really an expert in the publishing field as well as an expert author herself. And she has a website called thebookshepherd.com that you want to check out. I think where I want to start with her is that she has book sales of over 1 million, but her books have also had foreign rights sold. She's a multiple book award winner. She's the CEO of Mile High Press, and she is also the Book Shepherd. So she's here to share with us some really strategic ways that you can create and build an author and book platform for yourself. So welcome to you, Judith.
Hi, Marnie. How are you today?
I am great. Great, great. When did you write your first book, and how did that come about?
Yeah, okay. So it was a dark and stormy night.
Okay.
My first book came out. It was published in June of 1981. I wrote the first book starting in April of 1979 and sold it in December of 1979 to St. Martin's Press. And actually, when the editor, my editor was Hope Dellen, and when she said, "We really look forward to having your book," that book was called The Woman's Guide to Financial Savvy. And she said, "We really look forward to having this book, and we're going to bring it out in June." And I think, oh, 6 months, no big deal. What I didn't realize, it was June of the next year.
Right, of course. Yeah, right.
My first, so this is the way the game is played. But that book did very well, and that was supposedly, Marnie, supposed to be the only book I was to do. I mean, it was the book, and it was what I didn't realize is that books breed more books.
Right.
And when you are writing about what you love, or you live what you love, and you're talking about what you love, is that it's almost a natural spinoff of continuing to share your word, so literally people can take you home with them.
I just love that about books. That's maybe my, I'm an author myself, but I have this amazing level of gratitude to people like you and other authors who write down what they know and then let us have it for like under $20. It's amazing to me, you know, that you would put your expertise of many years of experience in your field and give it to me for a couple bucks.
Well, and of course, money is whatever money is. And that very first book, I think, was like $9.95 or $11.95. And, of course, my latest book, which is really a rockin' workbook with it, is certainly a little bit more than $20. But that it really will, you know, short circuit, and we're talking about writing and authoring and publishing here, it will certainly short circuit your career and save you mega thousands in buku mistakes. Because one of the big problems so many authors have is it's one of my steps, which we were going to go through, but it really, they don't know who their audience is. It is shocking to me, Marnie, that authors, when you say, "Well, tell me, who's your book for?" "Oh, it's for everybody." "Oh my God, gag me!" That your book is not for everyone. and that the more, one of the really secrets is that the more you learn to niche yourself, the bigger your market becomes. The more you become that go-to person, that whether it's expertise or the entertainer or someone who can write to laugh your socks off, when you become known as that person, then your market can just grow just hugely and can bring you into a whole nother arena. And that's what's exciting about the about words.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and dive right in here. The first thing we're going to tackle, and you guys, if you haven't already gotten your listener download notes, they're available at Blog Talk Radio or over at MarniesFriends.com. And we are going to start right away and dive in because we only have an hour and we have so much great material to cover. So what is the first thing that someone must really understand about book publishing today?
Well, there's actually a couple of things. One is that it's a moving, changing environment. And it is so morphed from where I started publishing in the very early 80s to where it is 30 years later. It's kind of shocking when I think I've been writing for 30 years, that you wouldn't even recognize it. And I'm the first to admit I'm a former book snob, Marty, that I absolutely believed in my heart of hearts that the only true legitimate author would publish with New York. And 18 of my books were with New York publishers, and that I had some real hiccups and snafus from an editor being fired in the middle of our job, which means, dear listener, your book is dead. It's orphaned, and it's gonna you will limp to the sidelines. It doesn't matter how great it is, it's dead. And that was very painful to go through, and that was an experience with Simon & Schuster. And then there was another experience with another New York publisher where I called to say, oh, hey, Linda, I'm going to be my editor. I'm going to be a week late with the manuscript. I just wanted to give you a heads up. Here's where we are. Things are looking really great. And she says, it's all fine. Do not worry about it. And I have some news to share with you. And I said, oh, great. And she says, well, it's good news and bad news. And I went, ooh. So tell me let's start with the bad news and one with the good news. And she said, tomorrow's my last day. I said, is that good news or bad news? And she said, that's the bad news for you and the good news for me. And she says, well, I guess you'll get assigned another editor, and I have a great opportunity. The bad news for me is my book is now orphaned. And that book, I continued to persevere and got it through, and that went on to win the Colorado, which is my home base, Nonfiction Book of the Year that year. But I had sub-zero support from the publisher. And those are painful lessons that you go through, and it does happen. And I've morphed. At book number 18, I morphed over. When I created my own imprint, Mile High Press, and started really, truly deep diving into what's going on in publishing. And, of course, when I started it back 13 years ago, what's going on today is dramatically different just in 13 years. So what every author needs to understand is publishing is changing, 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 changing. And if you're scared of change, you're in deep doo-doo here. And you really have to embrace it. It's really rather exciting what's going on. And for the author stepping up to the plate today, the opportunities are so amazing of what they can do and who they can be, which they often did not have that opportunity when I first started publishing a few decades ago.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I love how you yourself were just, what did you call it, a publishing snob or whatever, where there's so many people that still feel that way, but the reality is there is so much available to us without a New York publisher these days. And not that you shouldn't do that. It's not that you shouldn't do that. It's just that there are other options. You don't have to wait for that.
You're
okay, great.
Right. And my attitude is, and by the way, I'm still a book snob, but I just don't have to be with New York. And that my expectations of when I work as a book shepherd with authors is you're going to create a quality book. both on the interior as well as the exterior, that you're going to be able to compete with the big boys of what you have. How you market it, you know, is going to be another issue. But that's my book snob, that side of it has never left me. But my belief that you have to be with New York, oh, get over that, people. Get over that. You do not have to be. And the reality is, I don't know about you, Marty, but when's the last time you went to buy a book and you say, well, I only am going to buy from Wiley, I'm only going to buy from Simon & Schuster, I'm only going to buy from Crown,
right.
I'm only going to
say, I mean, of course not.
Get over
right.
that one.
Right. Yep, never happens, never happens. And you guys, if you check out her book, Author, you guys, just beautiful, absolutely. You could never, ever tell that this was not published by, you know, huge, huge house. And maybe your house is huge now, too. I didn't mean to disrespect if it is, but I mean by a New York house. I mean,
My expectation is if you're going to learn how to market your book, and actually, if you publish it with or another publishing app, the expectations are that you will do the problem of marketing your book. So with the internet and what we can do today is that you can, if I had available to me what the internet offers to today, 3 years ago, who knows what would happen? Amazing things could have happened.
Judith, we've got some garble going on there on your line. Just 1 second, I'm going to try one thing on our switchboard here. Just give me 1 second. Okay, you guys, I'm just trying one thing here. Okay, Judith, can you just say hi to us now? Judith, are you there?
We're talking about the author.
Oh, my goodness.
It's
completely garbled. I'm going to need you to just hang up and call back in because something happened to that connection. So now we're just hearing gibberish. Okay, so while Judith is calling the switchboard back in, she is going to the next things we're going to talk about here are what the author platform is, why it's important, the difference between author platform and a book platform, how to identify your own platform, how to drill down and expand on it, how to move your platform, and what you need to know to kickstart your positioning, how to spot publishing predators and what to do about them, one of the best strategies for first-time authors, and the 5 biggest mistakes that authors consistently do that sink their book. So we're going to talk about all this right when Judith comes back. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info. Do you carry a few extra pounds around than you'd like? Are you sick to death of dieting, or maybe sick of resisting the urge to diet because every time you try, you gain back more than you lost? Check out eatingwithgod.com. That's eatingwithgod.com. It's the easiest, most obvious, and most powerful non-dieting approach to weight management that you'll ever find. Starting today, you can enjoy every bite eating with God. Learn more at eatingwithgod.com.
Well, hi, this is Marnie, and we're back, and I think we have Judith here with us. Judith? Hello, Judith. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
Oh, my goodness. Are you calling from a landline?
I am calling. I'm going to call you on another line now.
Yeah, this is still just garbly. Oh, I'm so sorry. Thanks, Judith. Just call right back. Okay, you guys, this is just sometimes things go like this. I had a snafu earlier this afternoon, too. That was a technical glitch. I do on Thursday afternoons from 1:30 to 2:30, I do 21 day wins, which is group coaching, and that's over at 21daywins.com. And we had a snafu with the instant teleconference site today, which is kind of odd, but that's how that worked. So anyway, sometimes snafus happen, and you just got to make the best of it. Hello, Judith. Are you back?
I am. How's this?
It's clear as a bell. Yay.
Well, I switched from a landline to a cell phone.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, go figure. Go figure. Okay. Well, we've got so much ground to cover. We're just going to keep on right ahead here. Okay,
okay.
First of all, we're going to talk about what a author platform is and why everybody has to, what's important about it.
Well, what's really critical to know about a platform is that it basically, it's an infrastructure of your book as well as you as the author. And there's a difference between them. But so as you look at the platform in general, they start with basically a statement of fact. Why you wrote the book, why you are the author for it, why you're committed to its theme, its concept, its topic, and what value you bring it to the reader. And when I say that, Marnie, it's so critical because that when you create the game plan for your book, you need to literally put up in the forefront. There's two things I always tell authors that I want you to write down specifically who that reader is. So when you look up, like you're having a cup of coffee, and you look up, you can see that person across the table from you. Secondly, that you want to really understand clearly what is the benefit that you bring to them. Are you going to ease their pain? Are you going to give them answers? Are you have solutions? Are you going to tickle their funny bone? Are you going to scare them off the seat? What are you going to do for them? And when you keep those two things right up front, it will smooth your writing journey, and it will get you from beginning to end a lot quicker, and you won't be stumbling as so many authors do. So it's that statement of fact, why you wrote the book, who you are, why you're the person to do it, how much commitment you're going to bring to the party, and what value you have. And you've got to do it with really clear confidence and clarity as you journey down that path.
That's awesome. And what's the difference between an author platform and a book platform?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, the author platform is you. So I think that what authors need to really do is, when you close your eyes, you get out that magic wand, where do you see you going? What is your soapbox? I mean, do you want to be that international expert that gets called when there's something going on, that you become the go-to person? That would be part of your platform and your vision, and then you put together the components that will bring it about. The book platform, and I should say this, that the author platform is all-encompassing because, as I said earlier, books breed books, and so that you would bring those together, and it would be a composite of a lot of things because you may have multiple expertise. Like when I look at my expertise, I really come from the financial field. I started out writing financial books, but I was too ahead of myself, Marnie. I mean, back when I was writing books in the 70s and doing what I was doing, first started off and doing the lecturing and the workshops, that women and money, well, what was that about? You know, I was just too ahead of my time at that point.
Right.
So what I evolved into, and my master's is from that arena. My doctorate is from a business, and actually ethics came into play, but it was sprung from, it was hooked into money. And I had a partner who embezzled, by the time it was done, over $1 million we lost.
Wow.
And that I had to go back to school to unravel the mess that she really had ciphered the money from to try to save the bloody thing. And I became an expert in, and my dissertation is in women ethics, do women undermine other women? And that took a whole new springboard away from money into the toxic workplace and the female-dominated workplace.
Mm-hmm.
But they're connected. And then I was able to come back and loop in my money expertise, and I could quantify what bad behavior was costing you in productivity and turnover, et cetera. And then my third avenue is when I got sick of being on the road and being a multi-million frequent flyer IR out there, is that I really decided what I really love to do, which is my passion, is, and I had been doing that on the side, showing authors how to do books and do them and all those things, is that's what I do full-time now. So my vision for myself, visions are open, but I was going to be a how-to person showing people how to solve problems, and they became financial, they became conflict resolution, they became communication issues, and now that they are publishing-related issues. So that's my author platform. The book platform is an individual item for every book. Who is it for? What are you going to solve for them? How are you going to go about doing it? What kind of avenues are you going to create it for? Is it going to be a book? Is it going to be CD? Is it going to be DVD? Is it going to be ebook only? I mean, how are you going to do that? And what kind of resources need to come in to make that happen? And who do you need to help you get it there? Those kind of things will be involved in that kind of platform as you bring it forward. So book is a book, single animal. Author is you and all-encompassing.
How does somebody identify their platform if they don't already, if it's not already clear to them, how do they go about beginning to do that?
Well, I think, and I don't know if your work has had this too, but people will say, I want to be just like you, I want to be just like you, and I want to write just like you. Tell me, what should I write about?
Oh,
and you want to think, are you kidding?
right.
So it starts with in identifying that, you know, what do you your platform in itself will have these three key components. What is your vision? What is your vision? And what are you passionate about? So I can't tell you what you're passionate about, and you and I will have different passion things, and so that's going to be our core, where we want to get out and get that information about now. You know, I'm a great cook. I'm not a chef. I'm not going to be writing cookbooks, but I help people write cookbooks, and I have such a great time because I'm one of these people, when I buy a cookbook, I read it. You know, I will read it like a book. And I can help people get their vision out to create the cookbook because they're so passionate about it, and I can join them on their journey as a book shepherd. So it's going to be the vision, passion. It's key components of identifying those cores for your, and usually for the first-time author, they're going to be one and the same almost because they don't realize that these books are going to breed. And then the third component of creating that platform is the commitment factor of what's your time, what's your energy, and really what kind of money are you going to get in support of it? I'm not talking about, you know, having Fort Knox come in here, but I am talking about that if someone tells me, I want to write a book and I want to publish it, and you know I'm going to do this all for $300. I'm going to tell you, you're in deep doo doo, because it's just the quality of what you're looking for isn't going to happen. You're going to be, when you come in with that mentality, you're going to be at the really prey for what I call the publishing predators who are out here, who are going to lure you in saying, oh, my God, honey, I have a plan for you. We're going to publish a book for $197, and I'm going to tell you, run for the hills. And someone comes at you like that.
Hmm.
And then, well, when you have that passion, vision, and commitment, the people come because you've got it. You're juicy, and you've got it, and you're running with it.
We're going to come back to the publishing predators in a little bit, but I didn't want to miss any of this about the platform before we go there. So let's talk a little bit how to drill down. So let's say that a person identifies their vision, their passion, and they have a strong, powerful commitment. Now, how do I drill down and expand on that?
Well, that's right. When you really get into your niche, because I'm going to use my examples. Your author.
Oh, you guys, she's gone again. This, I don't know. I hope that you can all hear me, since I'm not hearing what we sound like.
Wow.
All I know is that we're
looting. I can hear you.
Judith, I can hear you again now. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead and start again.
All right. So talking about sabotage is that the subtitle of sabotage was how to deal with the pit bull, skunks, snakes, scorpions, and slugs in the healthcare workplace. All right, the drill down is healthcare. So when I wrote my very first book, which came out of my dissertation after the embezzlement that I went through, which was called Woman to Woman, From Sabotage to Support, naive me thought thought that that book was for, oh my gosh, here I'm saying it, everybody, every woman who's working, wrong. What I found, though, where it really resonated, it's not that the working, general working woman didn't get it. Their employer, as in corporate America, was scared to death of it. Hmm. In healthcare, which was a female-dominated workplace, they were very tuned in to what this book was about, and that they actually came after me to say, you need to do studies just for us, drilling down. Now, I have to tell you, Marnie, I blew them off because I didn't want to do another study. I mean, I just did this massive study for my dissertation. I didn't want to do another one. They kind of, several directors of nursing hounded me to do it, and I finally did it and was a little bit shocked by the outcome of it. I ended up drilling down in healthcare specifically for leadership and in the really more, even though there's a lot of people who work in healthcare, really more into the hospital, the nursing, the medical climate of it. And I became the go-to expert that if you had a problem, a toxic person, you got me in. And I used to say, well, I can give you the 5-minute solution right on the phone, or we can go through a contract and it's going to be $40,000. What do you want to do here? And they would say, well, what's the 5-minute solution? And I was like, well, fire their happy ass. And the $40,000, well, I'll come in and I'll do a full assessment and I'll do workshops and I'll do training and I'll do one-on-one interview and I'm going to tell you at the end, fire their happy ass. So that in the drill down, you become the expert person in that and you become who they go to. All of a sudden, you're speaking on other platforms like in national conferences and meetings, or sometimes they'll bring you in for everyone. And Marnie, all of a sudden you start selling a ton of books. They're buying lots at a time, hundreds at a time. I know my record at one conference I spoke at was I sold $16,500 in books in a 5-hour period.
Wow.
And that, by the way, was 560 books. But that, it's a lot of signing. But that's where you really, your word and your voice comes out. So pretty soon, I wasn't speaking for other places. I was really only speaking for and writing for the healthcare field, although I knew specifically the same problems they were going through were absolutely appropriate if you worked it in a retail outlet or if you worked in a technology field, but that for somehow it clicked with healthcare and women, and I ran with it.
Interesting. I'm thinking as you're talking about Chicken Soup for the Soul and how, you know, they had one product, and now they have countless, I don't know how many books. They've just niched it down to the specific. So that's the drill down and expand. How do you move your platform then? Okay, so let's say that, you know, you have this healthcare platform. And let's say that you wanted to either get people moving within it or move to a different platform.
Well, what you start looking at, this is where the internet is your best friend. Google is your best friend. And you start going at and you do your keywords and your searches and you start looking for areas that are in there. So I was on alert. I started subscribing to things because I found that healthcare was my area. And I confession, Marnie, I'm not a nurse. I'm alive because of a nurse, but I don't have any training in medical. But I too would stand in line at the grocery store and look at people's veins, thinking, "Oh my God, it's a great stick." I mean, I became so immersed in their jargon and understood them. I was doing a lot more reading and a lot of people who were RNs of many, many years, because if I was going to start moving and getting my name out there and in the positioning there, that I had to know what was going on. So I subscribed to journals within nursing. I subscribed to journals within hospitals so I could see what the issues were. That I would actually write to the editor instead of writing to my local newspaper. I wrote to them. I would contact them saying, and this really does tie in with expanding your positioning, is that, and this moves your platform forward, is you become really a recognized authority now locally within their own newsletters and their magazines where I would offer to, I had columns, I would carry, give them a series of articles that they could produce as they go along. And so I became very reliable because I was a great filler for them and stepping in. And I also found that when I was booked for a speaking engagement, and it was always on one of my books, I never took an engagement that I wasn't speaking on my expertise, my author, that author platform expertise that had a component that was tied to one of my books. And that I was able to say, you know, I would love to do a specific survey for this upcoming conference using your theme and tying it into the topic we're going to be doing. And I would set it up, I would do the questions, and then I could come in as a presenter and totally customize my findings specifically for their group, and then I could juxtaposition it with what we found in the national survey that we did for the book. And it just did wonders for that both book and author platform positioning.
Interesting. That's just so cool. And for those of you who aren't maybe familiar with going out to speak as an author, then you have the opportunity at some places, and you have to check with us in advance with your hosts, but you have the opportunity to have a book table and to have promotion there. And so what you're saying here is that you not only keyed it into the actual book itself, your topic that you're going to speak on, but then you took it to the next level. So there's a survey in your book, and then you did a private survey of the group that you were going to go speak to so that you had this personal information just about them and how it related to the world at large.
Yes, I offered it. I'd offered to do it. Not everyone would want to do it. But I would offer to do all the work and design the survey and all that. And all I did is I gave them the link to do it. And of course, it was always done on an anonymous basis. I never knew who was responding. And sometimes it was kind of fun. To see what happened here. And I would encourage our listeners to, if they're not speaking on their topics, to really do that, because it will move book. Now, with the Internet and what we have today is that you have the ability to do guesting on blogs and reaching out and making comments. So you could again come in, just as I was doing really before the Internet became hugely active, is that I was doing directly, say, offering to do articles and fillers for them so I could position myself. Because, you know, boy, as a seeker, if we had the search engine capabilities that we had today, when I was really out there traveling up the miles, that it would have been huge in how you could move things and get your name out there. And, of course, for your platform building, for the author and the book, it's getting the buzz. It's all about buzz and keeping that going. And how better to do it today than writing articles, understanding what your keywords are for your topic that will pick you up in search engines so that when others are going out looking for help, you become in that top 10 on those Google searches or Bing searches.
That moves us right into the next point, which is how do you kickstart that positioning? So let's say somebody's starting from scratch.
And which we all have to.
Right, everybody does, right.
We all start from scratch somewhere at some time, and sometime over and over again. So that you definitely go into the social media. So you have to get involved for a true green beginner is understanding what your keywords are for your topic and finding out what those drivers are. So you start with going into Google and going to keywords, and you start playing, literally playing, and finding out yourself, or you hire someone to do it. But I'm a big believer in, I think it's important to understand the processes. So finding out what those are, and you also want to find out who the top influencers are in your area that you are going to focus on. And again, you do the searches on them, and you go into the Twitter, you go into Google Plus. I'm a big believer in getting very active in Google Plus now, and that you follow these people and you sign up for these blogs so you can see what they are. You make comments on them, and that when you finally do have your book, or if you have it now, that you can reach out and offer to do a guest post on a blog. And when you do launch a book, that blog person who runs it, or any of the other platforms, like I have a group on LinkedIn, Author U, and that's just with the letter U, that I run, and that people come on, and I encourage people, start a discussion, let's get the dialogue going on those things, and you become trusted, so that when you do have your book ready to launch, they're going to come out and say, yes, I am thrilled to tell my audiences, my followers, my listeners, my fill-in-the-blank about you and your book. So that's how you start that kickstart, and it's getting your foot wet and knowing it's going to be a little spooky and a little scary because you're not familiar with all of this, and absolutely it's so overwhelming at times. Marnie, when someone said, Judith, you're going to have to do, you're going to have to do this Facebook thing and you're going to have to do this Twitter thing. And I just said, no freaking way am I going to do all that stuff. Oh, my God, I'm a Twitter queen. So you literally have to get over that and realize that today's, when I talk to the top literary publicists, the number one way you talk about yourself as an author and you move your books is social media. So if you're feeling social media resistant, I'm going to tell you, just get over it and start learning. Start with baby steps. Okay, I'm going to learn something about if your book is very visual. If you've got a cookbook, for example, oh my gosh, Pinterest is going to be your single best friend here. So if there's anything that gets rolled around on Pinterest, it's recipes. And that if you've got a business-related thing, you need to think about starting your own LinkedIn group. But there's little bits of steps that will go along, and some of the blogs, and certainly listening to your show, Marty, you've got a lot of interesting things that you've got going on. People will listen in and start hearing and follow. And I've had clients come to me saying, you told me I had to do this 2 years ago, and it's finally seeping in. I'm finally starting to absorb this. So don't expect to get it all at once. Don't expect it to get it overnight. But it does have to start with that first step.
Right. And what I always encourage you to do is just get the training. What you have to do is not all that difficult. You can get very elaborate with it, but you don't have to. Once you have a plan and you are crystal clear about what you're going to do, you can really do it in 15 to 30 or 60 minutes a day, depending on how much you want to invest in it. I mean, you can really have a plan that works for as little as 15 minutes a day. And so just encourage you to do that. And there's all the social media training here on Marnie.com. You can get that too. Okay, now let's go ahead and talk about you mentioned earlier the publishing predators, and actually when you told me about it earlier, I wasn't familiar with that term. So talk to us about who they are, what they do, and what you should do about them if you're an author.
Well, the publishing predators are, they're out there. They're everywhere. Number one, they're out there everywhere, and it's a phrase I started using a little bit over a year ago. And I have written multiple blogs on it, but these are people, and they're providers. They're providers for publishing, and their favorite prey is the newbie and someone who is naive and green, and, of course, they come with a credit card. And that these are operations that the publishing predators used to be, we used to think it's just Vanity Press. Right off the top, and that they were ones that would create a book, not high quality, and they would do it for who knows how much money. They always have a low end that they bring in on of a few hundred dollars, and then what they specialize in is doing upselling, that, well, we can do a publicity, we can do a marketing for you, we can do an editing for you, we can start filling in some of the things that you may not know what the difference is of poor okay, mediocre, this rocks and rolls type of grading. And that you go along because they have a really good pitch and they have a really almost seductive selling line and hook and lure. And what you don't really realize is most of them operate with boiler room status, that they've got someone placed offshore, and it is a lot of it is they have their home office here in Indiana, but they are offshore in some other country where the boiler room is, where they smile and dial all day. And they get you, and the average author who goes with these entities, usually, if they're lucky, if they sell 100 books, and they just don't know any better. So who's the granddaddy of all of them? That would be Author Solutions, and I don't mind naming names. I probably have a target on my back. Author Solutions, Author House, iUniverse, Ex Libris, Tate Publishing, Dog Ear. There's a whole bunch out there. And they come in right now, I think the lowest I saw recently was like $5.97. But down the same group, they had a package for $14,999, and we're going to market your book. And I want my dear listeners, please, if you have that kind of money, how about getting a real expert in to work with you who has a record of really marketing books and can give you references and can give you outcomes. And, of course, there's never guarantees, but after a while, you know what works and you know what doesn't work. Now, my fear, Marnie, is what's happened, and please jump in because you may have some experiences here too. My fear is that these publishers now, really well-known houses, have created these little offshoots on the self-publishing arena in that they're not publishing them underneath their legitimate umbrella. So they've created an offspring, like Hay House has created Balboa Press. And I've worked with horror stories with Balboa Press because Balboa Press is really Author House. Simon Schuster's created Archway. That is really Author House. Guidepost has created Inspiring Voices. It's really Author House. Abbott Press was created by Writer's Digest. It's really Author House. And what people don't realize is they're really just getting shuffled into the old Vanity Press, which has come into a different kind of image makeover, and you're really working in that area. So we've spent a lot of time trying to unravel some of these messy contracts because these people did not realize they were getting in bed with Author House. They thought they were hoping that Louise Hay would see their book and love it and bring it on board. And I call that misrepresentation.
Wow, that's sad. And I'm not involved in that end of things. I've not even heard of this, so that's very sad. Now,
very sad. And you know what they do, Marnie? They suck the very core and passion out of the author by the time it's over. And one guy who called me just a week ago from Alabama, And I said, why did you sign with iUniverse? And he said, I just wanted them to stop calling me. They were calling me 5 times a day. Yay, 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 yay.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Yeah. Wow. Can we just spend just like 2 minutes before we go on here, because we've got such other great stuff I want to get to. But for an author who's listening and they haven't published their first book yet, and you and I both had our first books published at St. Martin's Press, and we got a nice, check in the mail ahead of time. And, you know, for the author who is really hoping, that's what they were really hoping for, that someone would just so love their book that they would send them in advance and really, you know, do it for them and really promote it for them. Can you just speak to that person right now for a moment?
I can. And here's what you want to do. It's whether you go and you sell your to a mainstream publisher, or you just go down the path, and do it yourself, is that the best single strategy I can tell you is you need to create a game plan. And here's what a game plan looks like. For me, I'm a very visual person. And so my game plan starts with a pile of post-it notes. And there are categories that I will look at in the game plan. And the game plan will start with who is my reader? Who am I writing for? If I'm writing for women, well, which women? Is it Lucy, who is the soccer mom, or is it Brenda, who says, you know, I'm out of here, I'm getting a divorce, and I'm that's it? I mean, who is the game plan? Because you can't just say women. What type of woman? What's her age? What are the demographics? Is she single? Is she married? Has she got kids? Has she no kids? Is she wild or is she very conservative? I mean, you need to understand who you're writing for, because that will make your writing and the stories that you will use or the examples you will use or the dialogue you will use so much easier. And authors also need to realize, I've always had this interesting dialogue with fiction and nonfiction people, that they think that they're so different, Marnie, and you know what, they're not. They're not different. That there are some components that have some differences, but they are so entwined, because every fiction book has a problem. I mean, what's the protagonist? What's the problem? Did they create it? Did someone create it? Who created it? Where did it come from? And what's the causation of it? And what's the effect? And how are we going to get out of this pickle? For the nonfiction person, who's answering solutions or questions or giving game plans for it, is that what's the problem, what's the cause, what's the effect, what's the solution? So I think that when new authors will start out with, okay, what's my problem, and if they're humorous, the humor solves so much. I believe in that. So that my gift I'm going to bring to them is this gift of laughter, and so how am I going to deliver it? And what's the cause that people need more laughter? So how am I going to bring it about? And when we make them laugh, or you are a gifted storyteller and you can bring humor into it, that so how am I going to do that? What's the components of that? And then that finally, you know, how do I exit it? And that's how I'm going to end it. And so that problem, cause, effect, solution, and thinking in that way is huge. So tied in with who's your people, and then really clearly identify all the significance and the benefits that you bring to them as you go along. And I think that also what's very important for the author to realize very upfront is how are they going to stay connected with it. Are you going to have a website? And I'm going to tell you, please do have a website. Are you going to create an e-zine or a newsletter, or, you know, are you going to have a blog? Are you going to be on Facebook? Are you going to be on Twitter? Are you going to be on Pinterest? Are you going to be on LinkedIn? Are you going to be on Google+, or any of the other lots of social media deals? Where's your money going to come from? And this is a business type of like game plan, but I'm not calling it a business plan. So where are my revenues going to come from? Are they going to have books? Are they going to have stuff? Are going to create spinoffs and stuff? One of the fun things, Marnie, I did from my Sabotage book is I created a whole new dialogue for conflict resolution. I ended up putting it on a laminated bookmark. I put a purple tassel. I lose purple a lot. I put a purple tassel on it. I sold those bookmarks for $5 because they were now called tools. And so anyone who bought a book said, oh, yeah, I need that bookmark. So all of a sudden my book went from $29 to $34 on the sale. Are you going to do speaking? Or how are you going to get out there to add to your revenue stream? And that's really important to understand. And then you need to understand, okay, so what's this baby going to cost me? I mean, who are the people I'm going to need in to put it together? I need interior design, I need cover designers, I need printers. If I'm going to do a printed book, if I'm going to do an e-book, am I going to do this thing myself? And by the way, I am not a believer in the do-it-yourselfer. I believe in you get people in who professionally do this to make my book look professional. What's that going to cost me? And am I going to do a crowdfunding? Or a crowdfunding, whatever you want to call it. Some people call it crowd, some people call it cloud. It could be Kickstarter, it could be Indiegogo, it could be PetFlush. There are over 1,000 platforms that are used via the internet today that could possibly be a contributor of bringing in funds to underwrite the production of your book. Am I going to do that? Well, I need another game plan for that. So the thing that's important is to create the game plan. And not only from money going out, I think it's very important for an author to understand, what about me? What about me? What is this going to take of my time and my energy? And by the way, I have a book that every time I finish a chapter, my reward was I got a bag of M&Ms. So that went on my game plan.
Love it.
I had that. I'm also, Marnie, someone who needs water around me. And I have started multiple books on cruises, and I finished multiple books on cruises because water, I recognize, is my muse. And not only does it calm me, but it's my creative, part of my creative goose to move those things. So
beautiful.
Those are things authors need to understand to part of their own kickstarting of their project and a strategy that they would bring in to play with that. And those are some of those key elements that I would be looking for. So surrounding, it's very important for me to declutter stuff. And declutter doesn't mean to wipe out and clean up my office. But decluttering means to maybe I have to keep away from certain people or I can't do certain activities or I have to become so focused. Like I've created tape that we actually sell and it says author at work, do not cross, like barrier crime scene tape.
I love it.
That goes up. Yeah, that's fun. And that goes up, and my husband knows, my grandkids know, that when that tape's up, you do not come into my space, literally. You can bring me food, you can pass it through, but unless I invite you in, don't cross over. And I think that's very important to you, let your first-time authors, until you get into your rhythm and understand that, you have to really say, I am working on my book. I'm at work. This is work. It's not play. And that this time frame is do not disturb. And you must be faithful to it. You must be faithful to it.
Yeah, that is such awesome advice. And actually, you can do that in different areas of your life, too. When you have a project that has a deadline, you can just block that time off. And, you know, we own a restaurant that I manage. We own a retail store that I manage. And then I've got this online thing that I do. And so lots of people wanting me to put out fires, you know, a lot. Just when that many businesses going on. So what I do is I just remember that when I go out of town, when I am gone, they figured out somehow people actually can do it without you. And sometimes when I'm here, I just say this is a day I've blocked off or this is 3 days I've blocked off for a project or for writing or whatever it is, and I just say I'm not available. And it works. So just know you can do it too. All right, we just have a few minutes left here. Oh, go ahead.
Now, one other thing I want to say is that authors and some people think that, well, you block off the same time, every day. That may not work for you.
Right.
You have to find what works for you. And I will share with our listeners, I'm a binge writer. And I'm very intense. I'm working lots of stuff through my head all the time. And I can sit down often, once I've got that together, I can sit down in a week and 2 weeks and actually bang out a draft of a book. It's a draft. It's not the completed book. But, boy, it's hugely done because I've been working it through my head. So I'm binge. If you're binge, I get it. But, see, for what works for me, if you told me I had to write every morning from 9 to 11, you might as well just handcuff me.
Or,
it
you know,
work.
We had Cecil Murphy was on the show a couple weeks ago, and he writes 6 to 8 hours every day. I mean, he's in his – I think he said is he – like 81, I mean, he's been doing this for years, and he just loves it. That's his pattern. So just whoever you are, whatever your best, most comfort, most fluid zone is, just find it and then make a plan so that it can work. So cool. We have a few minutes left. I want to get through our 5 biggest mistakes that authors consistently do that will sink their book.
Think of number one, big number one, Marnie, and you know it, is you don't get a professional editor in. And every author needs an editor. I don't care how good you are. You need an editor. And that you're going to read in words that aren't there because you know they're supposed to be there. you won't see typos. You just don't see. We all have them. We all got them in our book, but you don't want to see them so littered. I mean, I see books. Every book I open up now, there's 3 and 4 mistakes on the first page. So get an editor in, and you're going to pay for that in budget. And then number two is, you don't get a professional cover designer. I don't care if you're a designer yourself. There are tricks to the trade for a good cover. Because remember about a cover. This is what a cover is supposed to do. It's supposed to scream, pick me up. Hey, look me over. Come get me. I'm for you. Take me home. That's their job. That's their job. And then you turn it over, and the real sales and marketing goes on the back cover. That back cover needs to be written like you need a headline on it. You don't repeat the cover, the book title. It needs to be think newspaper headlines. There are people who specialize in that. And if you're stuck on this, I'm going to tell you one of my favorite resources to go to, the National Enquirer. Those people know how to write headlines. And you pay attention to this. My very favorite headline came from the National Enquirer years ago. I gave birth in the snake-infested tree. And I'm thinking, holy moly, how in the hell did she get there? How'd she climb up there? What in the hell is she doing there? And how'd it come out? So, it hooked me. Headlines are for hooking. So you need a professional cover designer. Number three is you have a professional interior designer. Do it. And books scream at me when they are not done. And remember, people read like magazines today. There are call-outs, there are breaks, there's white space, there's visuals. The kiss of death is line after line after line after line after line of text. And you're not Ernest Hemingway, do not write with what I call paragraph perpetuity. One of the things I learned about being a columnist for 10 years with the business journals is there is great value in a one-sentence paragraph. There is true value in a one-word sentence. Use them. And then number four is not getting that your business, your author, your book is a business. Publishing is a business. There are profits, there are losses. There are revenues, there are expenses. Understand what they are up front so there's no surprises and you can go forward. And last but not least, and this is the kiss of death for every book, is because writers, they think, oh, I just want to write. Oh, my God, I just want to write my book. Yeah, me too. The real work is not writing the book.
Right.
The real work is marketing.
Yeah.
And it's getting out there, learning about social media today, understanding it, finding which avenues you need to use, and you get out. And one of the beauties of today is in our time, when I first came out with my first book, you and I now share the St. Martin's Press. If your book didn't hit, back then it was 6 weeks. Boy, if your book didn't hook, didn't connect, you were kind of dead. Now it's like 2 weeks with mainstream publishing. Today with the Internet, for us indie authors, is that we can roll our launches, we can roll our marketing, we can keep it going for a long, long time, that books can have a wonderful, healthy life. And that's the exciting news about publishing today.
Wow, you have just given us so much great information and help here today. Judith, thank you so much.
Well, thank you for inviting me to share an hour with you.
Oh, well, so grateful. You guys, you can learn lots more about her and what she, I had a couple things here when you were talking at the end here. Her website is thebookshepherd.com. I'll repeat that in a minute. But when you were talking, just the part about the pro editor, when I did the book eBooks Idea at Amazon in 14 days, I just listed the 5 types of editing. You have to have your book go through proofreaders,
mm-hmm.
copy editors, full-scale
mm-hmm.
editors, formatting editors, technical editors. That's just one of these 5 things at the end. Marketing, I heard recently somebody say that a best-selling book is usually because there's an author who can be a best-selling marketer. You know, they don't just happen. There's people that are working behind the scenes to make these things happen. If you need help with your book, go visit Judith's site over at thebookshepherd.com. And also there is at Marnie.com, there's the section called the writing Zone, and we've got expert training in there from, I think now, over 20 people that remind me of Judith a lot in their expertise and just give you so much good information so you get your book out there and get it going the way that you want it to go instead of just the way that it's going to happen if you don't have a plan. I love that Judith gave us the concept, too, that we have to have a plan. So that is the first place to start. Well, it's been delightful to be here with you this afternoon, and we will see you again next time on Marty's Friends. I hope you have a wonderful day, wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.